I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of this episode of Move. Jamie, are you ready?
Dude, I'm always ready. I'm strapped in. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be inspired, which is our word that we love to use.
Let's do this.
Part two of Move.
Not many people have that confidence. You always have this sort of, I suppose, drive within you. You're like, I can do that. I'm just going to do it. Why not? I'll go to London.
I think it's also the kind of like naivety of it as well. Not knowing how big a deal it is. You're like, yeah, sounds amazing. Sounds exciting. Let's go for it.
I'm actually not, even though I kind of come across as like a very confident person, like there's times where I'm really not very confident and I feel really anxiety like
driven,
crazy. Like sometimes I really doubt myself, but I think the naivety of it all, like as not being in London that long, I was loving my job, was going out with my mates, I was studying at university, I got this opportunity to meet this really nice girl. It was just all fun and games. It was, you know, I didn't really understand the scale of kind of what
I think it's the same as when Jamie and I started Candy Kittens. We'd have like a meet. I remember our first meeting with Harvey Nichols. And when Harvey Nichols called me on my mobile, sat at home in Caerphilly, in South Wales one day, the phone rings. It's like, hello. Hello, it's from Harvey Nichols. And I was like, okay, hi, how are you? Whereas now if someone calls the office, a big retailer calls, we're all like, shit, Tesco on the phone. We've got Tesco. Yeah.
You're like, hold the line, but someone sat next to you. Yeah. Shit, what do we do? Yeah.
Whereas then we just went, we just turned up, had a meeting with Harvey Nichols and just...
But I think...
It was no big deal.
Yeah, but I think, you know, this is what...
You've got less to lose when you're young.
This is exactly, and this is the biggest thing with startups or anything. And this is, you know, I always say the best thing about... the biggest advantage a startup business has against a sort of established one is they are able to adapt and change. Mm. They can change within seconds. You know, if we look at our brand Candy Kittens, we turn vegan within the space of 3 months. You know, if you look at Roundtree's or Maynard's and other speaker, they won't be able to do that, change their whole business model. But I think also the naivety of being young and being that free and being able to make those mistakes and do those challenges are the best thing in the world. And I honestly believe that, you know, going into the TV world, you had no real experience.
No.
But in fact, having no experience actually gives you an advantage over everyone else because you haven't been learned. You haven't been taught to be a certain way. You're just being you.
Yeah.
And in fact, being you is what makes you successful, is that that's what you get you so far.
Mm.
Where a lot of people go into different situations and they go, well, I have to act this way because this is what I've been told to do and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes that's a negative rather than a positive.
Yeah.
I think.
Who are your kind of like heroes? You have kind of people in TV that you were like, when you started, I'm going to be them.
I really love Sarah Cox.
Yeah.
I think she's brilliant. I think she's such a fantastic storyteller. She makes me laugh on the radio. Claudia Winkleman, because she is just...
She's great.
Brilliant. Emma Willis, I've always really, really admired. Fern, I love Fern. I'm kind of love all the women that support other women, seem to be quite easygoing, manage to kind of have a family and lots of other projects going on. I think I've never wanted to put my eggs in one basket. It goes back to kind of having that one desk and coming to work at that same time every day. I've always wanted to do lots of different things that kind of made one jigsaw rather than just have one piece.
But then you were saying, so you went to this audition and you did the audition.
Yeah.
And what happened after that?
Well, I got the job and they called me and they were like, we sent other people from the agency and you've got the job. So they didn't really have a choice. They kind of had to take me on. They had to manage the situation.
And what was that job for? Which one was it?
It was a music show that we did in an ice cream van for Sony. It was really good fun. I loved it. I did the job with this amazing guy called Tom and he was hilarious. And then that was when I kind of got a bit of the bug, I guess, kind of meeting other people in television. There's a real, you know what it's like, there's a real buzz around telly. It's really fun to be on set. It's
really
brilliant.
Is.
And I got that little like, ooh, this is nice, this is fun. And then I just kind of went from there. I was still working at Shoreditch House and still doing some uni stuff, but that's when it first started.
But you then started to just start booking loads of different jobs. You were sort of just slowly just cruising up and just being this sort of established presenter that you are today. And
yeah, but I'm not that established. Like, I think you are.
And I think it's just probably because you haven't hosted X Factor final, whatever, then that, but I don't think that's right. I think you definitely are a completely established presenter. I just think you probably, like lots of people, have such a kind of pressure on your shoulders in order to be a certain place. And if you're not, then I don't think any of us within this room will be happy at whatever situation we're at. Because if you probably said to yourself, I don't know, when you first started out, that you would be hosting an ITV2 show or doing something like that, you'd be like, no way. But once you do that, you probably go, well, what's the next thing?
Yeah.
What's the next thing?
I think it's definitely changed me over the last few years. I used to see my career as very much a pyramid, and at the top of the pyramid was the job. So the job was an entertainment show, a Saturday night, shiny floor. And that was a thing that I was really gunning towards. That's the job I want. When I've got that job, I've made it, whatever that means. And actually,
whatever that means. So yeah, what does that mean? Like,
success is subjective, I think. It means different things to different people. But I think that the pyramid is kind of flattened a little bit. And now it's about making myself into a business. So it's the long game for me. It's always been the long game. I've never been that person that is aggressively ambitious, which sometimes that's to my detriment because I've lost jobs by not being the person in the room that goes and speaks to the most important person. I don't like that.
I don't know if that's true. Not saying that you're ambitious, not saying that you don't talk to the right person, but
I'm not aggressively ambitious.
No,
though.
You're not aggressively ambitious in any way, but I think you are incredibly ambitious. I think there's a difference between what you're saying, yeah, when you go and you go straight up to the person in the room and go, hey, what's up? I'm Laura Jackson. Hi. You're not that at all. But you are driven.
Yeah.
And you can see that from this sort of narrative that's gone throughout.
It's interesting to use the word business. So you actually kind of think of this thing that you're doing as kind of a moneymaker, and it's like eyes on the prize that way, or is it for different reasons?
I think of everything that I'm doing as a business now. That's the way I think about it, and everything that I do feeds into this business and not like, oh, I'm a brand, but I do feel like, because of the way that the landscape is and with Instagram and social media and all the different things that we do that feed into our business, that's just how it is. And I think that you kind of have to think. I never used to take things very seriously, and I do now. I do take things that I do quite seriously, and I do a lot of things. I still do loads of things for mates for free, like just for a bit of fun and whatever, but anything that's kind of a bit more
commercial, you have to be a bit more kind of,
yeah, is that right for me?
Yeah. And I think, and that's what's interesting about you, because you're very careful who you work with and what you do, which I think is super important. But I suppose, you know, if lots of people will be listening to this who want to get into the world of television, and I'll put my hands up and say it, I found a very sort of easy route into this amazing world. I was given a TV show, and it was a very popular TV show, but I worked hard off the back of it, right? But you started from the ground upwards. You weren't a name, and you went into this and built your way up.
And I didn't know anybody.
Nobody, yeah. You're a girl from Huddersfield. You knew no one. And everything in TV, well, especially then, was very much Southern. Everything was London-based, and everything was happening out there. What piece of advice would you give to someone who wants to try and get into this world of television now?
I think just making yourself available, being approachable, being kind, hardworking and available. And I think that never turning down any opportunities, even if you think that they're not right for you right now. I think just meeting people, even if you think, oh, well, Sam works in construction. What's that got to do with what I want to do with? Well, I think you need to try everything. I've done so many jobs. I mean, God, I even worked at this air conditioning unit. That was a real
highlight.
What did you do there?
I think I just folded pieces of paper and made tea. What was I thinking?
Yeah, but the thing is,
I'm not saying that you should do, if you want to work in TV, go work for an air conditioning unit.
No, but what you are saying is you're putting yourself in situations where you are basically saying you're sort of a yes person. Where you're putting yourself in situations where you'll come across individuals. And I think probably what was key for you is that, you know, my sister's an actor, and she... you know, sometimes, you know, she finds it tricky and hard. And I say, well, why don't you go and go to these different places, and you sort of sit there and you meet different people. And I think your probably biggest success was taking that job at Shoreditch House and chatting to people within the industry and then doing that. And anyone can do that. Not saying anyone get a job at Shoreditch House, but anyone can put themselves in those situations.
But the things you mentioned, be kind, be not, you know, be positive, work hard. Those are things that genuinely anyone can do.
Do you know what? I was listening to this amazing podcast called How to Fail. Have you listened to that?
I've listened to a few, yeah.
With Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And she was saying that she went to see her boyfriend in a play. And after the play had finished, they all went for drinks. And she ended up chatting to, I think, the girl that either wrote it or starred in it with him. Anyway, she just thought, I'll just go for drinks, start chatting to this girl. And now this girl and her are like best friends. They wrote Fleabag together, they did the tour, live tour, and the TV show. And I just think it's just such an easy little story, but it just goes to show you never know where you're when you're going to meet someone that's going to change your life.
And so true.
This sounds really like hippie, but I'm all about energies and meeting people that kind of like reaffirm you or that just make you feel like powerful. And I just love meeting people and I love like making friends. I'm real sad like that. I'll go for dinner with anyone.
I'm exactly the same. that's an amazing, and I think that is the biggest piece of advice I personally would give to someone else, is that go and meet people. You know, we are so focused now, we're looking down at our phones and being on social media and we don't communicate with one another. But the way I personally gain knowledge, same as you, Ed, is that we communicate and we talk to people, and talking to people gets you different places.
Definitely. And our biggest achievements probably so far have been in times where you least expect it. You bump into this guy and you talk about something and you're like, I've just got to tell another person about candy kittens, and you just go for it, and actually then it turns into something that you just never could have imagined.
But meeting people, I think, and being truthful rather than meeting people and being fake. My biggest lesson in life, which I still have to go through probably once a week, is finding out that people aren't the same as me, and I get really hurt and I take it really personally. So I hate when people are like, oh my God, let's go for dinner, let's have coffee, and then you arrange dates with them and they keep cancelling. That really annoys me, because I wouldn't do that. I think that's not very genuine. So do meet as many people as possible, but be genuine with it. Like, if you are interested and you want to meet them for coffee, you know, do that and just be truthful about it. I think that in London, there are so many people and everybody wants to different bits and pieces and social climb and whatever. But I think you've got to be truthful and
stay authentic to you. Otherwise you get caught out. But also,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But the interesting thing about you is that you said that, and we go back to that initial thing, I didn't want to be the person eating my sandwich at my desk doing this. And you certainly haven't done that, because you've gone on to, you founded Supper Club with Alice Levine, who's a great friend of yours. You have a collection at Habitat from the back of that. You're working with brands like Nespresso and stuff like that. So you've turned your whole self into kind of this sort of business mogul at the moment, where you're just doing different things. How did you find starting Supper Club? Was it difficult to you, or did it come naturally?
It kind of came naturally, because Alice and I both really liked food when we met, and that was the thing that really bonded us together. And I think that we were working in it.
She's a presenter as well.
Yeah, she's a broadcaster. My dad wrote a porno, Radio 1. She hosted The Circle last year. We were, you know, at Time in Television, which is still the same, it's very male dominated. Sorry, it is.
It is. No, it can. It is. It is, and it's tricky.
It's tricky. Yeah. And
do you think that's from on the screen or behind the scenes?
Front and back.
Really?
Yeah.
And you, and just quickly, we're on this point. You openly talked about how you were paid your co-host, yeah, who was a guy, was paid double the amount you were being paid, even though you're doing the same hours, the same thing, the same job, everything.
Yeah.
And that must have been pretty tough to discover that.
I don't think I really, at the time, understood the significance of that. I do now, and it wouldn't happen now.
But why at that time? Because you just succumbed to it. You're like, okay, whatever, it's fine. I just let it pass by.
I wasn't knowledgeable enough. I wasn't smart enough. I didn't realise it was a thing.
Is it not going to happen now because you're aware of it? You're smart enough to it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm aware of it, and I think that the industry is more aware of it. I think it's definitely more of a discussion now, even if there's a reason why. Like when I did take me out with Mark Wright, I don't expect to get the same wage as Mark Wright. Sure. He is very big on social media. He can bring an audience with him. That's different. But when I worked with somebody who was at the same level as me, doing the same hours, same social following, that I look back and think that was really wrong. But I didn't have a voice, I didn't have an opinion, and I didn't have an informed opinion then.
And possibly, I could be wrong, perhaps you, and if I am wrong, perhaps you didn't have the confidence to speak out then?
Yeah, probably. But I didn't really know how to go about it. I think it's called favoured nations when you get paid the same as a man in telly. I didn't know about favoured nations then. I was just young. I was young, and I think...
What is favoured nations? Sorry?
Favoured nations is where you get paid the same. So
that's just what they call it.
Yeah. So I just didn't know. I just didn't know.
But then, okay, we touched on Supper Club as well. So what is Supper Club that you do with Alice Levine?
So Alice and I started because we both really liked food. We had no control over any job in television. So you'd go and meet people, but you couldn't say to them, like, come on, give me this job. So it was completely out of our control. So we decided that we wanted to do something that was Alice and I having fun. We had the creative control. We could do as much or as little as we wanted to. And we really wanted to write about food. We loved reading restaurant reviews, A.A. Gill and Grace Dent, but we felt that it was kind of aimed towards an older audience that had more of a higher income. And we wanted to do something that was for people like us in London who were looking for a deal. So we wanted to write about lunch deals in London. We didn't have a journalistic background or a food background, so we were starting from scratch. Well, we can do this. And we thought, well, if we're going to write about food, we need to kind of be involved in food. So we thought we'd just start a supper club. I mean, literally over lunch one day, let's just start a supper club. We don't really know what it is. Let's just invite some people around to my house for dinner and charge them. Get my boyfriend to wash up. Bob's your uncle. Fanny's your aunt. There you go.
It's like Airbnb, but for food.
Literally. And again, we just went into it so naive. We were like, well, why can't we do it?
What's the worst that can happen?
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. But again, that's the kind of sort of unique and just sort of amazing way that things can happen like that. You can, if you put your mind to it, you can just go and do it. Why can't you? Who's going to tell you no? So you started charging people and it started to work. When did you suddenly realise, hang on a second, we've actually found something that actually works?
I actually remember the first night Alice washing up going, oh man, if this never works again, well, we don't do it ever again. I've had a really good time with you. And I was like, yeah, it's been so fun. We've met some really interesting people.
So were these the first people that came round? Did you know them? Or?
Yeah, they were friends and friends of friends.
Right, okay.
But some people didn't know each other.
Yeah.
And that was the beauty of it, actually. We were washing up and Alice was like, if we never do this again, at least it was really fun. And I was like, yeah, it was really great. I would really like to do it again. And then we kind of opened it up on Instagram to people that we didn't know. And it's kind of just snowballed. And I think that the point where we were like, this is a bit of a thing, isn't it? Was when brands started coming to us and said, oh, we had Sarah from The Office at one of your supper clubs and she said it was amazing. It was really fun, really wild, really loved the food. And she met some great people. Can you do that for our brand? We were like,
no.
Yes, show me the money. Yeah. I was like, I'll just put you through, please. Alice is for you.
Are you really conscious of who you work with and what brands you work with?
We weren't at that point, no, because we were just having a good time. And I think that sometimes the best ideas come from having no plan of attack at all. We never thought we were going to write a cookbook. We never thought that we were going to have two ranges with Habitat that would sell out in like hours.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We didn't realize any of these things. And I think we were just having a really good time, and people saw our passion and our energy and they wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, I completely agree with
you. And where does that go next? What's kind of the future for...
Well, at the moment, we've kind of rested the brand because we've been so busy and it got really big. Well, you know, it was a business in its own right.
Sure. But and sometimes what happens is that starts to get away from you, right? Where, you know, and I'm very honest with this to about everyone. You know, I'm very lucky when it comes to Candy Kittens. Ed and I started it 7 years ago, but because of my schedule and what I do, it's impossible for me to run it day to day. Ed is MD. He's managing director. He runs it from day to day. And I suppose with it must be hard for you and Alice because you guys are doing so many different things. When it becomes a business, a proper business, it's quite hard to run.
Absolutely. Well, it's like having two of you rather than having one MD, and it kind of, we really, really loved it.
You can only ever have kind of one person, I think, in charge and making decisions, and it has to come down to one person because otherwise things kind of...
Well, Alice and I are so, we're alike and very different. So we kind of complement each other because she sees things very differently to what I do and vice versa. I think we had a really great time and it was really fun. So we just decided to rest it while we're on a high. And then I'm going to do something else on my own, which I'm starting at the moment. I've always got itchy feet. So you're right. I have like a day where I'm like, oh, what should I do? And then I, you know, and then I make a mood board and then I'm like, I'm going to start a business. Then I create an Instagram and then I'm...
And I suppose, Roy, that leads us on to our last question. If you had to start a new business today, what would that be?
I think I've told you about this before. This is a bit of an odd one. I don't keep saying I've told you about this before, Jamie.
It's a really good one.
It would be nursing homes.
Nursing homes?
Yeah. I feel like the care that we provide for the elderly in this country is terrible. We're doing nurseries with organic food that have to have memberships and have pools and fluffy toys, but we're putting our elders in homes which are run by the NHS and not very well equipped. And I think that we should be looking after these incredible people who have paved the way for us. I mean... Women can now vote, and all of these incredible things are happening because of people that came before us, and I think that we should be looking after them. Basically, Shoreditch House, Soho House, for all people.
Nice. I love that. So good. Laura Jackson, you are a superstar. You are inspirational. Thank you so much for coming on
Laura.
The podcast today.
Thank you.
You are great. Thank you, Laura.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Ed, when we started this podcast, we said at the very beginning that, and I think it's in one of our sort of details, where we want to speak to people who are athletes, artists, musicians, founders, businessmen, all different people from all different areas, from all different walks of life. And that's why having Laura on the podcast is so perfect, because she is someone who is from a completely different scenario. You know, she was a presenter. She's now started a business. She's now gone on to doing podcasts and all different things. And what's great about Laura is her passion and her desire to achieve what she wants to achieve. She doesn't listen to the noise. She doesn't listen to the rejections. She just keeps going and going and going. And I love that desire to achieve.
I think it's right. I think she sticks to what she wants and she knows what she wants, which I think is really important. You know, she is definitely a force to be reckoned with, and that is coming through in everything that she works on. She has a very, very clear vision, and she doesn't let anybody pull her away from that.
And also, you know, people get knockbacks, every single person in life, and you always get knockbacks. And I think that that overnight success is actually quite a hard thing, because when you get the overnight success, sometimes you don't feel like you've earned it. You know, you get the YouTubers, the TikTok people, the presenters, the people who go on reality shows.
Yeah. You get that. We know a few of them.
Yeah, you get that overnight success. And sometimes that doesn't give you the work ethic that you need. Laura didn't have overnight success. She grinded it. She went for it for years until she reached where she wanted to get to. And that just shows that things don't happen that quickly. You really need to work hard to receive the rewards.
Absolutely. Slightly different one for us today, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you so much for listening. Honestly, it really does mean a huge amount. And we also hope today's podcast has inspired you to move towards your dream or passion. Now, if you like the podcast, please subscribe and leave us a comment. And if you'd like to get in touch, please email us at move@moveclub.co.uk or follow us on Instagram @moveclub. Until next time, this is Move.